Last week, Free Speech Radio News aired a documentary by journalist Jaisal Noor called Neighborhood Schools, The Fight for the Future of American Public Education. In the half-hour report, Noor examines so-called school reform in several cities, including Chicago and New York. That documentary was aired on Memorial Day. The corporate media bandy about the terms school reform and school turnaround as if just calling a school closing a turnaround will make it so. We spoke with documentary producer Jaisal Noor.
What I set out to do is to tell the human story behind the catchphrases, behind this whole so-called school reform agenda. This is a corporate-backed agenda, and the primary lens that most people get their information is through corporate media. They have absolutely no regard for what is happening in the community, what the community's response is, and the impact that these reforms are having on communities. So what I wanted to do is simply tell the story of how communities are affected, because the targets of these turnarounds, of these school closures, are neighborhood schools, which for decades have been the sole bedrock for these communities.
Isn't it very interesting, then, that charter schools are marketed by their supporters as a kind of community control when it's exactly the opposite from community control?
Right, exactly. And specifically, I looked at one model of school reform that is being pushed by the Obama administration, which is the turnaround model. So this is different than a charter school because it's a publicly funded but privately managed school. It's a different process because a company has to first apply for a charter license, and it basically starts from scratch. And it's a lot harder to start a school from scratch than what a turnaround does. In a turnaround, a private company, as in the case in Chicago, comes in, they fire all the teachers, they fire the principal, and they bring in new teachers, and they're allowed to rehire half the staff. But it's a total disruption that is happening to a community where in many of the schools that I looked at, many of the teachers have been there for decades. They understand the community. They often have been fighting for the community. They understand the students. Oftentimes, they've taught the parents of these students. And that is one thing that is being lost with the turnarounds.
And in particular in Chicago, black teachers have been decimated by these turnarounds.
Absolutely. Black teachers have been decimated by turnarounds in Chicago, and even in places like New York, where you have Teach for America and other school reforms in New York City, and the number of new black teachers in the school district has been greatly reduced.
Since we're talking about community control in an environment in which there's so much obfuscation from the corporate media, I guess we ought to discuss what is community control and what are good examples of community control as you've observed.
That is a key piece. As a reporter that's been covering education for the past several years, primarily in New York, I was very pleasantly surprised at what I learned when I traveled to Chicago, because Chicago's experiment with community control is, you could call it, the most radical democratic experiment that's ever been tried in the United States. In Chicago, and it's important to note, this was the result of decades of struggle against a failed central administration that had no regard for the quality of education that children were getting in Chicago. And Chicago, long having been a majority minority city, the culmination of this decades-long struggle was under Harold Washington, every Chicago public school got a local school council. And what that means is direct community control. The parents sit on a board with teachers and the principal and with community members, and they get a say on who the principal will be at that school, and they get a say in how the budget is spent at that school. So nowhere else in the country, in low-income communities, do you have such direct control of public education, of public schools. And in most wealthy school districts, school boards are elected. But in large urban districts, you have in Chicago and in places like New York, you have mayoral control. And what studies have shown is that these democratic models, they work. They are the highest performing schools in the city of Chicago.
And yet they are the schools that are under attack.
They're the schools that are under attack by the Obama administration. And what I learned when I was in Chicago is I was reminded where President Obama was in the late 80s. He was a community organizer in Chicago, and he worked on getting this local school council bill passed because he understood the importance of community control. And now by pushing this turnaround model in places like Chicago, he is destroying community. He is destroying community input. He is revoking the power that this community had fought, that he helped fight for himself. So that's one of the things that kind of most surprised me about what's happened in Chicago. And, of course, the community is not just sitting by. The teachers union is not sitting by. They are actively fighting, campaigning, and lobbied to prevent these turnarounds. That's an inspiration right there. You have parents, students, teachers in some of the most disinvested communities in the country that are taking some of the most active stances. One of the schools slated for turnaround was even occupied by the community. There was a sit-in for 24 hours, and all the parents wanted was for this appointed school board, this unelected school board, to listen to their own proposal about how to improve that school, to talk about the resources that the community felt the school needed. And after having to sit in at Brian Piccolo Elementary, the school board agreed to listen to the parents' demands, and a few days later, they voted to hand over the school to a private company, fire all the teachers. And, you know, unfortunately, many of the parents who fought for the school said that they're taking their children out, because once it's under private management, as far as the Chicago parents are concerned, then it's not a public school anymore, because they lose that power of that local school council. They lose a seat at the leadership of that school. And as far as the parents in Chicago are concerned, it's no longer a public school because they don't have that control. They don't have that power. They don't know what's happening in that school anymore. It's just a private company that has a questionable track record in Chicago.
And what can you tell us about the difference between the behaviors of the unions in Chicago and in New York?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. In Chicago, there's a caucus of rank-and-file educators, which swept into power, kicked out the old leadership, the Chicago Teachers Union, the third biggest teachers union in the country with over 30,000 members. And they essentially took this union, which was going along with a lot of what the reform agenda was. And, of course, Chicago was the home of Arne Duncan, who's now the education secretary. The mayor of Chicago is now Rahm Emanuel. So what's happening in Chicago is exactly what's happening around the country. But the teachers union there, led by Karen Lewis, their position is to actively challenge this reform agenda by empowering parents, by working with the parents, coming together, marching in the streets, building support, building knowledge. And this is very different than what's happening in New York, because in New York, the union is against what's happening. They are opposed to the reform agenda, but they're only fighting it through the courts. They're not working with the parents. They're not mobilizing parents. They're not mobilizing community. And this goes back decades, back to the Ocean Hill-Brownsville incident, New York's experiment with community control, where the union sided with the Department of Education, the UFT in New York. They essentially sided with the central administration over the parents, and they prevented community control from truly existing in New York City. And it's actually those lessons, because a massive rift was created between parents, the majority of who are low-income, a majority of who are people of color in New York, and the teachers union. Ever since that Ocean Hill Brownsville experiment, the parents and the teachers union in New York has never really seen eye to eye. And they understood those lessons in Chicago. So when the local school council bill was being proposed in Chicago, the union did not block it. They did not oppose it in Chicago. And Chicago has a long history of teacher unionism. It was the home of the first teachers union almost 100 years ago. It's a very grassroots, militant union, and they're doing everything they can to oppose the so-called education reform agenda, and they do deserve much credit for that. There are groups in New York that are working to radicalize the teachers union, but the current leadership still has an iron grip over the union, so for now they are not working with the parents. They're not empowering the community. The UFT, the union local in New York, is the most powerful in the country. So if they did mobilize with the parents, they did empower the parents, who knows what the current state of Mayor Bloomberg's reform agenda would be in New York.
Jaisal Noor, speaking from New York.